देवायस्य संवित्ति कृतात्वेन अखिलं जगत् अपश्यन् सततं युक्तो जीवन्मुक्तो न संशयः अयमेवोदयस्थस्य ध्येयस्य ध्यायि चेतसि सदात्मता समापतिरिचत साधकस्य या इयमेवामृत प्राप्तिरयमेवात्मनोग्रह इयं निर्वाणदीक्षा च शिवसर्वावदायिनी यथेच्छाभ्यर्थितो दाता जाग्रतोर्तान् हृदि स्थितान् सोमसूर्योदयं कृत्वा सम्पादयति देहिनः तथा स्वप्नेभ्यभिष्टार्तान् प्रणयस्यानतिक्रमान् नित्यं स्फुटधरं मध्ये स्थितो वशं प्रकाशये अन्यथा तु स्वतन्त्रा स्यात् सृष्टिस्तदर्मकत्वतः सततं लौकिकस्येव जाग्रत्स्वप्नपदाद्वये यथा ह्यको स्फुटो दृष्टः सावधानेऽपि चेतसि भूयस्फुटतरो भाति स्वबलोद्योगभावितः तथा यत्परमर्थेन येन यत्र यथा स्थितम् तत्तथा बलमाक्रम्य न चिरात् सम्प्रवर्तते उर्बलोऽपि तदाक्रम्य यत कार्ये प्रवर्तते आच्छदये बुभुक्षं च तथा योति बुभुक्षितः अनेनादिष्टिते देहे यथा सर्वज्ञदायया तथा त्वत्मन्यदिष्टानात् सर्वत्रैवं भविष्यति ग्लानिर्विलुण्ठिका देहे तस्यश्च ज्ञानतस्वति तदुन्मेष विलुप्तं चेत् कुतसा स्यादहेतुका एकचिन्ता प्रसक्तस्य यत स्यादपरोदय उन्मेष साधु विज्ञेया स्वयं तमुपलक्षये अतो विन्दुरतो नादो रूपमस्मारतो रसा प्रवर्तन्ते चिरणेव क्षोभकत्वेन देहिनः दिदृक्षयेव सर्वार्थान् यदा व्याप्यावधिष्यते तदा किं बहुनोक्तेन स्वयमेवावबोध्यते प्रबुधः सर्वदा तिष्ठेश् ज्ञानेनालोक्य गोचरम् एकत्रारोपयेत् सर्वं तथोऽन्येन न पीड्यते शब्दराशि समुत्थस्य शक्तिवर्गस्य भोग्यताम् कलाविलुप्तविभावो गतसंसापशु स्मृतः परामृतरसापायस्तस्य य प्रज्ञयोद्भव तेना स्वतन्त्रतामेति स च तन्मात्रगोचरः स्वरूपावरणे चास्य शक्तय सतथोटितः यत शब्दानुभेदेन न विना प्रत्ययोद्भवः सेयं क्रियात्मिका शक्ति शिवस्य पशुवर्तिनी Bandha Itri Svamargasta Jnata Siddhi Upapadika Sanmatrodaya Rupena Manoham Budhi Vartina Puryakshtakena Samrudha Stadutham Pratyayod Bhavam Mukte Paravasho Bhogam Tathavat Samsareta Samsrati Pralayasyasya Karanam Samprachakshmahe Yadatve Katra Samrutas Tadatasya Layotaya Niyachan Bhoktritameti Tatashchakreshvaro Bhave Agadha Samshayam Bodhi Samuttaranatarini Vande Vichitrartha Padam Chitram Tam Guru Bharati Latva Palabhyam Vitashnyana Dhanam Redmuhanta Kutanite Vazukupta Vachivaya Hi Bhavati Sada Sarvalokasya
Good afternoon, and welcome to our sixth and final class on Surfing Reality. I have to tell you that I'm a little bit hoarse today, so I'm going to be talking in a softer voice, and you might want to turn up your receiver if that helps you hear me. It's appropriate that this is a class on divine sound. So we're really entering into the process of mantra and sound in a quite a deep way, according to the way the sages of Tantra discussed it, talked about it. And in this process, we're going to look at the way in which sound operates inside the mind, and how sound operates through mantra. And I also wanted to tell you that, because several people have said that they wish this class would go on, and I have to say I'm thinking the same thing. So I have been considering continuing the class into a part two, another 6 weeks, to deepen our experience of the verses. You know, there are 51 verses in this text, and we've only been able to touch a few of them. And the themes that we've been working on here also unfold themselves more deeply as we practice with it. So this is an option, and I'm taking opinions about it. So if anyone has a strong feeling of wanting the class to continue, it would be in August, September, and you can just drop us a note or drop Deb a note and let us know what you think. So in deciding how to practice with this final class in the series, and wanting to practice with mantra and sound, I was torn between two sets of verses. One is verses 28-29, which is about spanda in its very deep sense as the power within mantras. And the other is verses 45 through 48, which talks in a way that is, I think, very relevant to our daily experience, about how spanda is both the binding and the liberating power that manifests through all words. And as I was contemplating which of these verses I wanted to talk about yesterday morning, I sat for meditation, not really expecting anything, which is always a good way to sit for meditation. And I did a simple puja on my altar. I started to repeat a goddess mantra that I'm currently practicing with. And after a little while, I felt the pulsation of blissfulness arising inside the mantra. And I have to say that one thing I love about mantra practice is those moments when the mantra begins to manifest, the energy inside the mantra begins to kind of melt into a blissful energy, a blissful vibratory state. And of course, this is just one of the experiences we have as the mantra syllables begin to melt into the mind and begin to melt the discursive mind back into its essence as pure mind. But because I'm kind of a bliss freak, I like this experience. What became apparent in that moment was how the energy in this particular set of empowered words, which I have been cultivating for several years in practice, actually caused the contracted sense of self, the sense of myself as a limited consciousness making an effort to meditate, that sense of me as Sally, identifying with thoughts, identifying with the body, began to loosen and dissolve and melt into this underlying presence that was clearly felt as the energy behind and within the mind. And it felt very natural, as it always does when this melting occurs. I know many of you will recognize this from your own experience. But I had started by doing a practice, and the practice had morphed into an energetic experience and was, of its own will, carrying my consciousness back into its essence. So when the spanda manifests as words, when the spanda manifests through language, she can manifest as content, ideas and thoughts and beliefs. She can also manifest as content, as currents of intrinsic movement, pulsations that have bliss at their heart. And this is really what the tantric sages wanted to show us about the inner nature of the mind and also the inner nature of language. So this week we're going to talk about the powers in words. We're going to practice with verses, as I said to you, if you'd like to get them out. We're going to practice with verses 45, 46, 47, and 48. And in the course of it, we will talk about the power behind language, this specific form of spanda, which is called in the tantras the matrika shakti. Matrika is a Sanskrit word that means the sound syllables of language, the phonemes, as linguists call them. And the point that the tantras make about sound syllables, about the sounds that arise inside us and give us the experiences that we have, because the basic teaching of the tantra is that all language in our worldly individual existence, all experience in our individual existence is mediated through language or mediated through sound. So the teaching on Matrika Shakti, which is the core teaching of these verses, points to the power within language that gives language the power to transform our experience simply by the words and thoughts we use about them. And also by the power of it, it also is the power that makes mantra practice effective. So spanda activating through words, through matrika, that is sound syllables, is the power that can both bind us and liberate us. And this is really a key understanding of the spanda karakas. Let's begin by chanting, and we'll chant the mantras that invoke goddess, the goddess of consciousness, the great Shakti, Spanda Shakti through the mantras Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundai Viche Swaha, which point to her presence as the energy of inspiration, as the energy of manifestation, Hrim, as the energy of divine pleasure, and as that form of divine Spanda who removes obstacles, Chamundaye Viche, she who cuts obstacles. And finally, the word Swaha, which indicates that we offer this mantra to Goddess. And we'll chant 5 times, and then we'll chant the first verse of our text, the Spandakarikas. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. 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 Deep breath in and let the breath flow out. And allow your body to move into a comfortable upright meditation posture. We'll start with the opening mantras of the Spandakarikas, and then we'll move into meditation.
Yasyon mesha nimesha pyam jagatam pralayodayo tam shakti chakra vibhava shankaram prabhavam shankaram stumaha.
And one more time.
Yasyon mesha nimesha pyam jagata pralayodayo tam shakti chakra vibhava prabhavam shankaram stumaha.
And I'm going to give you the translation of this text in the way that the great commentator on the Spandakarikas, Kshema Raja, offers it to us. He invokes Spanda in this verse as the goddess of consciousness, Shankari. The great Shankari, who is the source of all energies, opens her eyes and the universe is reabsorbed into pure consciousness. She closes them and the universe manifests within the purity of her own screen, the purity of the unchanging beauty of consciousness itself. So one of the ways to think about Spanda is as the goddess of consciousness. And for those of you who wonder what Spanda has to do with goddess, this is it. Spanda is personified, let us say, as the divine feminine power whose nature is pure awareness and pure vibration, and who creates everything that exists and even what doesn't exist within herself, on her own screen, the screen of her utterly pure, totally free consciousness, and who in every phase of experience, as the Spanda, the life force within every moment of life, she reveals herself both as our capacity to experience the world and as the world we experience. So, with that understanding, we're going to be practicing with mantra. With the mantra Om Aim Hrim Klim, essential vibratory energy was in the chant we've been doing in class. And as we know, these chant mantras carry the energy of three forms of the divine feminine, of Spanda Shakti, and the Spanda is completely present, vibrating inside these mantras. As we practice them in the next few minutes, I want to ask you to practice these sounds with the sense of the felt energy, the felt sense of energy that you experience as you allow the mantra syllables to vibrate inside your inner body. So we're going to practice Om Aim Hrim Klim, focusing on the felt sense of the mantras inside your body, specifically inside the heart center. So you can allow the breath to begin to flow in and out with the sense that it's opening up that region of your inner body that we call the heart, that region behind the chest. And you can allow the breath to draw your energy more and more inward as you begin to think these syllables, Om Aim Hrim Klim, allowing the syllables to flow in with the inhalation, dropping Om Aim Hrim Klim into the heart. And then with the exhalation, just allowing yourself to feel the space that the mantra has opened up for you. Literally the energetic space, the felt sense of mantra inside the heart. Om Aim Hrim Klim with the inhalation. And then with the exhalation, opening to the felt sense of the energy created by the mantra as it vibrates in your heart. And you can open your eyes. The understanding we are working with in our practice of tuning into the core teachings of tantric mysticism, there are two key teachings. And we've been, of course, following them throughout this whole time together. The first is that since everything is Spanda, everything is Shakti, everything is made of divine energy, by divine energy, within divine energy, it must follow that the mechanisms which create our experience of separation are also divine energy. So it's a really, it's a crucial point. And, you know, I'll say it again in a different way, that the Spanda Shakti manifests diversity and in the process gives us the experience of separation with all its attendant pleasure, pain, and ultimately sense of being entrapped in our physical body and our limited identity. That same Shakti liberates us by awakening the knowledge and the experience of unity. And in the, you know, the teachings of Tantra says in two very beautiful and mysterious statements, one of them, that by which we fall is that by which we rise, really refers to the fact that the Spanda that limits us is the same Shakti, the same Spanda that raises our consciousness, expands our consciousness. And the second one is the poison is the nectar, which is really a wonderfully mysterious sutra, which means that the power that creates separation, the poison, is also the source of the nectar of awakened states. Or as verse 48 of the Spandakarika says, God's power of action, the Spanda Shakti, existing in the bound soul, is the source of bondage and suffering. When that same power of action is recognized by us as the means to experiencing one's own essential reality, it brings about the experience of awakening and liberation. So that's essentially what we're doing here, why we're working with this text, and why it is that it is such an important, really important teaching for us on the path. No matter where we're at, you know, no matter if we're very advanced students or very new students, this teaching can inform every bit of our practice. So what these verses that we're talking about tell us is that the entire process of bondage and liberation occurs through the powers in vibration, in language, in sound, and through the vibratory energy that manifests as sounds vibrating within our nervous system as words and ideas, as emotions and images. It's through this vibratory energy manifesting as sound that we create the version of reality that we live by. In other words, through the words and ideas created by the vibrations within sounds, we create the version of reality that we live by. And when we recognize, I'm saying it in several different ways, when we recognize the power that creates words, that lives in words, any words, all words, we begin to be able to touch into the liberating consciousness aspect of the Spanda rather than being bound by it. So verse 45 says, I'm going to read the English and then we'll talk about the underlying teaching that links them together. Being deprived of his glory by the power that contracts consciousness. Deprived of his glory means that the individual soul is limited in this process of manifestation by a natural tendency of Shakti to limit herself in order to experience life as an individual. So being deprived of his glory by the power that contracts consciousness, the individual becomes a victim of the group of powers arising from the mass of words, and thus is known as the bound one. And again, we'll talk about this in just a second. So the second verse, verse 46, says, "The rise in the bound soul of all sorts of ideas marks the disappearance of the bliss of supreme immortality. On account of this, he loses his freedom." And verse 47 says, "The powers in words are always ready to conceal the truth of our total oneness with God. It is ideas that continue to veil our real nature, the truth of our absolute reality. But without the association of words, ideas cannot arise." So all these limiting ideas that we have about ourselves and about the world, everything from the macro limitation of believing that we're separate to all the particular ideas through which we define ourselves by our physical body and our genetic heritage and our likes and dislikes and our politics and our thoughts about who we are, including the idea that we're good at some things and not others. You know, to the memory of the time our mother forgot to pick us up at school, or that nasty thing our ex-lover said to us in 2004. All these ideas fix the reality we experience into names and forms and delude us into believing that all of this is what we really are. And by learning how to recognize the power behind all of this, then our experience of individuality begins to be irradiated by our understanding of the power that is behind all this. I read somewhere of a great being who said that this physical plane, this earth plane, was meant to be experienced in a much more expanded way. In other words, that you and I were meant to experience individuality and physicality and the power of imagination pleasurably, but that because we allow ourselves to get so deeply identified with thoughts and words and our identification with the body, but especially with the mind and our thoughts, this world which could actually be a very beautiful experience, and which I'm sure is what Shakti meant to do when she manifested all this, becomes more and more contracted, and the experience becomes more and more painful, separative, difficult. And we find ourselves in the states of contradiction that, you know, all of us know very well. So the way through, the way out, as it were, is, again, simply to recognize, to see ourselves, to see Shakti manifesting literally in every experience of our life. So, as we continue, as we go on, and before we get into the deep practices that we're going to be doing later on, I want to talk about the underpinning, the fundamental tantric idea about the power within words and language, the power that the Spandakarika is telling us binds us. The power behind the force of language, the matrika shakti, as we said earlier, the power within words. The word matrika means little mother, literally means little mother. It's also the word for the letters of the alphabet, the phonemes, as they're called by linguists, the sound forms that come together to create words, that come together to create language, meaning, and of course also thought and idea and novels and poetry and everything else within the realm of language. So in the understanding of reality in the ancient traditions, many of the ancient wisdom traditions, including Jewish wisdom, there is this basic understanding that the word, the language, and by word we don't just mean the words that we use, but the energies behind the words, the powers behind the words and within the words. That the energy behind these powers is actually the energy that creates the world itself. This understanding creates a practice that, you know, we call language mysticism. That is really understanding why language and why the sounds that become language are intrinsically powerful and intrinsically creative. Matrika Shakti, the power within words, that form of Spanda, which is the power within words, when not recognized, is the power that creates suffering. When it is recognized, when we learn how to harness it, to retrain our experience of language and through it our thinking patterns, then that same power becomes the friend of our liberation. And of course, this understanding that we can work with words and language to liberate ourselves is the basis of really most of the spiritual practice that we do today. Certainly it's the understanding behind mindfulness practice. It's the understanding behind the ways in which we've learned to use positive thoughts to change our states. And it's certainly the understanding behind mantra practice. It's all based on this one idea that what gives thoughts and ideas and words their power is the primordial energy of the universe, which moves through them. In other words, the Spanda Shakti. I'm repeating it because, to me, the idea that language has intrinsic power, absolutely inbuilt power, is very important to get when we begin to recognize the power we have to retrain our mind and the way we think. We have to start by realizing how much power there is intrinsically in language. And I'm not going to go into too much about the nitty-gritty of this, although I think we'll all recognize it. I was very struck a few years ago by a conversation that I had with a friend of mine about a mutual friend, another woman that we both knew. And this second woman, the mutual friend, was someone that I have loved for years. I love her. I admire her. I've never had an experience with her that I didn't love, enjoy, admire, and respect. Well, this mutual friend of ours, you know, as we were in this, I'll call one of them K and the other one B. As K and I were talking about this mutual friend B, K started to criticize her. And she started to say, you know, very subtly mean things about her, to diminish her, to hold her character up to view in an extremely negative way. And I was defending my friend B, but at the same time I could feel the thoughts going into my system. And the next time I saw B, I saw her to some extent through the prism of the way this woman had been talking about her. And I think we all know how much power language has to influence our opinions about the world and others. Look at Donald Trump with his insults. You know, it's just a fact that we all know about our lives. But what the tantras say is that this power in language is something that needs to be taken seriously, or even more seriously than we take it, because when we use words, we are actually activating the divine power that creates reality through words. So let me say a little bit more about this. a little bit more about what we mean by this. You know, the language mysticism, Sanskrit-based mysticism, Hebrew-based mysticism, which have very similar teachings about language, say that the sounds within the alphabet are divine in and of themselves. And the reason for this is because the teaching of these ancient traditions is that the mental and physical universe are created through combinations of vibratory sounds, which the alphabets, the ancient sacred alphabets, encode within them, within the representations that we call letters of the alphabet. And I think we all, you know, we all know, of course, this book of Genesis, the beginning of things, the famous beginning of the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Vedas actually describe the manifestation of the universe in very similar terms. You know, the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Creator. This universe is considered to be a product of these sounds, which, to put it in tantric terms, come directly out of the heart of the universe, out of the impulse of Shakti, of Spanda Shakti, to manifest. And I'm sorry, I was not quoting the book of Genesis earlier. It's actually the Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we when we first began to tune into the universe through radio telescopes back in the 1950s, it was discovered that there is this sound that sounds sort of like, oh, it's a kind of a rushing sound. And the scientists who first heard it believed that it was the residual sound of the Big Bang, the original Big Bang, which actually can be heard in space and also in the rushing sound that occurs when you're trying to tune an FM radio. So these sounds, these primordial sounds, these deep sounds, actually manifest, you know, they actually, if you know anything about the science of vibration, you know that inside everything, you know, at the very heart of everything, there are subtle sounds which we could say are the vibrations of the atoms and molecules within the body or within a tree or even within plastic. As they vibrate together, as they move, they actually create a very, very subtle noise. And in the human consciousness, it's said that these tapestries of power that manifest from the very subtlest level of consciousness in a human being through the nervous system, through the you know, ultimately through the physical brain, express themselves in language, which at some point in time became speech, and at some point in time became the sounds that form the basic alphabets. And these sound forms also actually vibrate within the human body as what are called the matrikas, the phonemes that work to draw the mind outward into the experience of differentiation and separation. So the stream of ideas and energies and words that comes up from within us, you know, that you discover, especially if you turn your mind into meditation and start to recognize that there is a continual process of endless movement going on inside your mind, the mental static that's going on inside your mind that keeps your attention outgoing, that keeps you mentally busy, and that actually keeps the beam of awareness that could be turned backwards onto itself to recognize what it is that we're embedded in and that could allow consciousness to expand. The Matrika Shakti, the Shakti within words, within sound, within thoughts, constantly keeps our attention moving outward. There's a great line from the sage Abhinavagupta. He compares the life of the ordinary person to the life of a dancing girl who's confined to a stage. And the stage, he says, is Maya, is the illusion of separation. And he says the individual soul is like a dancing girl who, wishing to escape the stage of Maya, is collared by the doorkeeper in the form of thoughts and forced back onto the stage. So literally the power in words, the Matrika Shakti, which is constantly manifesting as thoughts and ideas, literally forces us against our will often, but not always, because, you know, often we love our mental log. But even if we don't love our mental log, we are constantly being really forced to experience differentiation. And, of course, that power within language and thought and differentiation is also responsible for many of the beauties of human life, including communication in all its forms, including art, including the ability to come together and transform the world in all the ways we can. What the tantras tell us is that the really skillful way to understand this power within words, which essentially limits our experience to identifying with our limitations and our individuality, is to learn how to recognize that power, to understand that power, and therefore to inspire that power to work with us. One of the, I would say, really really profound teachings that my guru, Swami Muktananda, gave us really at the very, very beginning of my time with him was exactly this. Like all humans trying to meditate, we would sit in meditation trying to quiet the mind. And then we would find that the very act of turning inside for meditation was making us more conscious of this flow of thoughts that wouldn't stop. And he said, in a statement that I have been unpacking ever since, he said, you can't force the mind to be quiet. You can't fight the mind. Because the power that makes thoughts arise is the power of the Great Mother. It's the power of the world-creating Shakti. It's the power of the goddess of consciousness, who constantly creates worlds on the outside. And this same power that manifests universes in the physical world is manifesting as all the creations of your inner world, of your mind. I'd like to ask you to just sit for a moment and begin to become aware of this process. And of course, you can begin with the breath. Just letting yourself follow the breath into the heart space. And see if you can, first of all, become aware of all the different levels of thoughts. The obvious thoughts, and one of the obvious thoughts is the experience that you're having of trying to hear the words I'm saying and sort them. There's also, if you look, and I'm going to be quiet so you can really look, you start to become aware that there is something that kind of feels like it's coming from deep inside your body. I often feel it coming up as though, or coming up from the gut, or from the heart. But there's this kind of impulsion, this energy that is making the mind move, that is creating movement inside. You know, one of the things that this does is it constantly observes yourself and identifies what you're experiencing as me. And then there's also, you might notice, a lot of different forms of stray thoughts, mental static of various kinds, memories, reverie. And then on the surface, there are the thoughts that are coming up as you try to do an exercise, as you try to practice and try to coach yourself. But just see if you can notice that behind all these processes in the mind is this kind of fountain of energy, this pulsing movement at the heart of the mind, or down someplace at the core of yourself. It's throwing up impulses, thoughts, images, feelings. It's throwing up those movements that in the Yoga Sutras they call vrittis, movements, mental movements. And just be with it, notice it. See if you can actually find where it's coming from. And notice that as you start looking for the power that's bringing thoughts up, you may notice that you just get completely distracted, which is part of the way that this binding quality in the Matrika Shakti works to draw us away from inwardness, this power of distraction. And in my experience, very often, even when we're in quite a quiet state of meditation, even as awareness arises, the chirping of the vrittis, of the mental chatter of thoughts and emotions, is still going on. We may not be paying attention to it. We may be aware of the greater awareness that's holding these thoughts, but the energy of thinking, the energy of movement in the mind is still going on. As we look at this tendency of the inner mind, as you notice it, and we're going to keep coming back to noticing it, I just want to ask you if somebody has, in this process of turning into those thought forms, if anyone has had a recognition or an insight that you'd like to share with us in this moment.
This is Gail Sally. Hi.
Hi, Gail.
I had an experience when you asked us to keep going deeper into the body to see where everything was coming from. I went into the gut, and I could feel myself kind of looking up from there. And then I went, it wasn't there, so I went deeper into the first chakra. And I went into the snake. And I went all the way down to the very bottom of the snake. It's kind of quiet here.
Yeah, it sounds like you sound quiet.
It feels good. That's all I can say. I mean, I don't know if that was the answer to your question.
Well, it's certainly the answer.
That was my
certainly
opinion.
The answer for you.
Yeah.
Yes. And okay, so that's beautiful, Gail. Thank you. So what Gail has done was this very fundamental process of following the impulse of Spanda Shakti deeper and deeper until she got to the place of its source. And for some of us, as we do that, we actually do begin to feel that energy coming from a very deep place, coming down to its very source. And for those of you who have studied Kundalini Shakti and who've, you know, many of you who've been in the classes we've done together on Kundalini Shakti might recognize the connection of those sounds with that primal energy at the very base of the body, because what the tantras say is that actually these sounds and these impulsions of movement do in fact arise from that form of spanda in the body that is also known as Kundalini. And that when we can allow ourselves to follow those sounds back to the source, we will come to a place of great quiet and stillness. It's very sweet. In that experience, that feeling of the Shakti just rising, just coming up from inside, one of the things that I've come to realize is how many of the practices, not only of Tantra, but of the other yogic meditative techniques that work with mind, that work with thought and the mind itself, really are aimed at getting the mind to become still. One of the things that the sages recognized is that if we can get the mind to become still by whatever means, that the primordial quality of awareness will begin to surface, will begin to show itself. But the tantric texts also have what I consider to be the sort of fail-safe shortcut process of self-recognition. And in this particular self-recognition process, which is the teaching that Swami Muktananda gave me, and not only me, it was one of his classic tantric teachings that I have found so transformative, is to look at the energy that is creating thoughts and simply recognize that the thoughts themselves are made of Shakti, are made of, we can call it mind energy, but that inside them is this profound Spanda Shakti divine energy that is actually what we are looking to experience in meditation. So that instead of looking at thinking and thoughts and the other stuff that's arising in the mind as a problem, you know, as an obstacle, we simply look at everything that is taking place in the mind as a form of the Spanda Shakti, which is our, in the deepest sense of the word, our goal. Because we know that this power is unstoppable, because it will know that it's going to go on making sounds, the way to practice with it, as my guru always said, is simply to recognize that every thought, every impulse that flows through the mind is an expression of Shakti manifesting as thought. Even your worst thought not only your good thoughts, but even your difficult thoughts are all manifestations of that same divine Shakti. One of the verses in the Vijnana Bhairava puts it differently. This verse says, wherever your mind goes, inside or outside, everywhere is a state of Shiva. It's the same principle, of course. One looks to the power of that is everywhere as Shakti, as goddess. Another looks to that power as Shiva, as masculine divinity. But let's practice this in this moment. Let's practice this awareness of recognition. And I'd like to begin the practice with a short prayer, because when we're learning how to invoke the power of Spanda, the power of the Matrika Shakti, the power of the energy in words, when we're trying to invoke that power to take us into meditation instead of distracting us, it's very, very good to start by talking to her. You can ask this favor in the words that Ramakrishna often spoke to Goddess. Mother, show me your liberating Shakti. Please show me your power to take my awareness inside, to use your power of outgoing attention so that I can turn attention around and really see you manifesting as my entire inner world. Please show me your liberating face. And you might say, I honor this power which gives me life, this life force within my body, this amazing power that is creating thoughts and ideas, images and emotions. I honor you as this power. Please show me your liberating face. And after making this brief prayer, we're going to engage the Shakti of language, the Matrika Shakti, through a practice that we all know, which is the practice of using words to transform our experience. One of my friends calls these kinds of words G statements, meaning guru statements or God statements. Another way to describe them is as enlightenment statements. In other words, these are words, sentences, teachings that come from the highest level of truth. And this statement is a kind of a paraphrase of the teaching inside these verses. So I'll say it and you can apply it. So you're sitting, you're focusing a bit on the breath, and perhaps you're allowing the mantra, which is another form of the liberating Shakti, as we'll be discussing in a few minutes. You're allowing the spanda in the form of Om, I'm Hrim Klim, to be offered into the heart with the breath. And as you sit with these words, remind yourself, all this that's arising in my mind, the mantra, the stray thoughts, whatever feelings, whatever static, whatever images, the inner experience of energy moving into creating thoughts and ideas, all of these thoughts are made of Shakti. They're made of Spanda. They're arising through the power of the primordial divine, blissful energy of creation through the delicious power of the divine feminine who's constantly dancing worlds into existence. All these thoughts, ideas, mantras, images, as well as the feelings in my body that arise, they're all made of Shakti. They're nothing but Shakti. So allow this understanding that you're sitting with the dance of the goddess, sitting with the subtle body of goddess manifesting through the powers that appear within the mantras, that appear within the breath, and that appear within any thought that arises. Every thought, every feeling, every sensation that arises inside the mind, and also your experience of hearing these words and the words themselves are made of Shakti. And again, if anyone has an experience that you are moved to speak into the silence, you can press star 2.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
I had this, I guess I'll call it an insight. I was noticing that my mind tends not to move so much towards like verbal manifestation, but I get an impulse to sort of subtly move my body instead, and I sort of thought that the movement of the body is an expression of thought. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. Yeah. Especially when, well, there's different kinds of movement of the body. Sometimes there's movement that really has nothing to do with thought, but sometimes the movement is arising out of a kind of restlessness. You know, for example, one of the things that happens to many people in meditation is that the body will kind of gently and almost spontaneously align itself. And this is actually an expression of the meditative power itself, the meditative energy itself. But when you're wanting to shake or scratch or sway, it often is exactly that, the physical expression of of the Shakti of mind. So what happens when you have the idea, when you have the realization, all of this is a manifestation of Shakti, what happens to it?
I guess it feels like kind of like what I was describing in the last class when I noticed the sort of the field of the mind and the awareness of the body sort of become just one field.
Yeah. And also I would not wanting to put words in your mouth, but as it becomes one field, there's a kind of a general sense of relaxation, right?
Yeah.
Something quiet. Yeah.
It's definitely like just sort of an like.
Yeah, there's a kind of a sinking, a kind of an opening.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Aaron. This dharana, because it's what it is, it's a concentration practice of simply recognizing, of simply using a teaching that undercuts all the separations that ordinary consciousness tends to make between the levels of our experience. That by recognizing that all of these experiences are aspects of Shakti, it creates a deep relaxation in the body mind that, you know, it literally removes tension all by itself and creates the field in which we can meditate more deeply, in which we can start even to find the subtle essence of mind, which is pure awareness, and the subtle essence of body, which is pure vibratory movement, unlimited by its physicality, even while experiencing that physicality. So this recognition, whatever is arising, is made of Shakti, is a kind of immediately liberating awareness. So thank you. Does anyone else have something that comes up for you to share about your experience in that practice? In that recognition, the arising of all sorts of ideas based on words causes the disappearance of the bliss of immortality. However, when the Shakti is recognized as the divine power behind words, this power begins to liberate us. And once you can use that understanding, once you have created that intention to recognize the divine quality in words and the energy that's playing within words, you can begin to dance with that power in a new way. You can use intention to start to turn the Shakti in the direction of liberation. And this is, of course, what we do through practices of mantra, practices of mind shifting, the practices that we use to shift our states by shifting our thoughts. Really, most of the psycho-spiritual techniques we practice, from using positive affirmations to questioning whether this negative thought that you have about yourself is really true, to looking into negative thoughts and deliberately letting go of them, to the visualizations that we do, you know, toward the practice of turning our attention into the inner body and focusing on the movement of the mantra inside the inner body, these all make use of these powers. They're all based on the understanding contained in the sutra that when we actually befriend the power of inside matrika, the power of words, the power of awareness, we are, in a certain sense, calling upon the Shakti's power to act for our liberation rather than for our bondage. And I just want to say that the more you can deliberately form a relationship with your own Matrika Shakti, with the Spanda inside your own mind, by recognizing that she is in charge and that her power is the power of the universe, the more you can relate to her in that really quite personal way, then whatever practice you do, whether it's liberating thoughts into spaciousness or prayer or practicing with mantra or simply sitting and letting yourself drop inside or using thought to manifest, let's call it sweeter realities for us, for you, the deeper you enter into that relationship, the more you'll find that the Spanda Shakti gets behind your liberating impulses and begins to empower them more and more and more, so that instead of having to fight against your mind, you actually are learning how to align your mind with the power of the Shakti. And one of the things that I've discovered, and it's one of the reasons why in my practice and in my teaching, I have come to relate to Spanda Shakti in personal forms, to relate to her as a goddess, is because when we relate to the energy inside our body-mind, the way we would relate to another person, that is by honoring them, by respecting them, by thinking of them as a friend, as even a potential lover, we actually create an energy of friendliness, which, you know, we're used to doing with other people, hopefully, but which most of us are not really so used to doing with ourselves, with our own mind. And this really concentrated willingness to befriend the energy behind your mind can actually turn out to be the real secret of transforming your life. And the thing that I've noticed about this kind of practice is that it, more than anything else, it begins to loosen the gap that we often experience between our inner practice and our outer life. And of course, another aspect of recognizing the power of words is that we start to take more seriously the effect of the words we use about ourselves, the words we use in our self-talk, but also about the words that we use in our conversation with other people. And I'm saying this not because I want to encourage you to become rigid with yourself about the words you use, but also just really to begin to notice how much power a general intention to look into your own mind and your own body awareness with the recognition that there is a goddess operating through your senses and operating through your thoughts, how much difference this is going to make for you. I recently, someone sent me a book, which is, you know, it's one of those books that claims to give you the utter absolute secret of successful self-transformation. And the teaching in it is very beautiful. It says you that the basic teaching is whatever arises, love it. You know, just in other words, and one of the things it tells you to do is to turn into your heart and say to yourself, I love you. And I think that many of you know that, and many of you have had this spontaneous recognition that if you turn towards yourself, if you turn towards your own heart, if you turn towards the, you know, the small child inside of you, if you turn towards the person who has a certain anxiety or a certain worry or certain fear, and you say to that inner being, I love you. I'm here for you. I embrace you. I love you. I find you beautiful. You know, that just using words to transform your self-talk in that very simple way. You know, and if you are saying, I love you to yourself and it doesn't feel sincere, which of course sometimes happens, then find another way to say it. Say, you're accepted, or say, this universe accepts you, or say, there's nothing you have to do to be lovable. You are intrinsically lovable just by being yourself. Finding ways like that to speak to yourself, to hold yourself, it might make you realize that you have a tendency to be hard on yourself, to be rigid with yourself, to put yourself down, to, you know, in a certain sense, badmouth yourself, and then to try to do a kind of spiritual bypass because you know that there are, you know, there are beautiful divine qualities in you. But somehow we tend, you know, you might, or, and I certainly have found this to be true for me, there's a tendency to sort of separate your divine self, your great self, from your, so to speak, ordinary daily self, and in a way accept your divine self, but kind of, or often very strongly, critique your ordinary thoughts and actions. Or if you don't critique them, you know, just try to push those negative thoughts away, which causes tension. So one of the secrets of working with the Matrika Shakti is to speak to yourself sweetly. One of the, you know, really beautiful teachings in the Vedic culture, where they really deeply understood the power of words, and of course they didn't have all the complexities of modern life either. They weren't being inundated by Facebook posts and tweets and the email dinging every time you turn on your computer and, you know, all the other incredible stimuli of modern life, especially in the city. Those sages lived in rural areas. Their lives were very quiet. But nonetheless, they understood something very powerful about words, and they would pray to the Matrika, to the power within words. Asking that their prayers, their mantras, their practice itself be made effective by the Spanda. And secondly, they would say, may all my words be sweet, and may others receive sweetness from my words. And I would take this one step farther. When you're faced with something that you can't love, that you have a hard time feeling sweet towards, a very powerful way to use the power of Matrika to shift it is simply to recognize, okay, I have a hard time feeling good about myself when I just did something unkind, or I have a really hard time looking at the imperfections in the way I relate to my family. I have a really hard time accepting the fact that I'm sometimes not as smart as I wish I was. I have a really hard time with the physical issues that are starting to come up for me as I age, or with the way it feels when I have the flu. I have a hard time loving many things about myself and my life and the people in my life and the political situation, you know, and the way the culture is going. So when you recognize that you're having a hard time feeling positive or feeling the divinity in ordinary experience, then you notice it and you, as it were, confess it to the goddess. You say, I'm having a really hard time with this. And you ask the Spanda Shakti to help you feel what it's like to hold a positive view, to hold the recognition that all of this, positive and negative, is an aspect of the divine. So So as we ask for grace in connecting with the liberating powers of the Spanda, in connecting with the essential sweetness, the honey-like quality that's hidden inside the mind, of course, the core practice in all these traditions is the practice of mantra. So we're going to re-enter the mantra practice, and we're going to be practicing playing with mantra in the homework tonight, in the homework this week. And also doing some self-questioning, some self-inquiry about the way in which the thought streams that we hold, the beliefs and ideas that we hold, create limiting experiences, and the way in which when we practice with them, we can actually inspire the mind to create liberating experiences. And so right now, I want to go more deeply into the mantra practice that we've been working with today. And if there's a mantra that you normally use that has more power for you than the mantra Om Aim Hrim Klim, you're very free to use it, because what we really want to do is investigate the power of mantra itself. I will say that this mantra string, Om Aim Hrim Klim, has an enormous amount of intrinsic power, the power of its lineage, and also the power that's being injected in it through the practice that I and other teachers of my lineage have done with these mantras, and the practice that we've done together as a class. So these mantras have within them one of the core energies that is important when we are practicing mantra. That is, these mantras are empowered. They're empowered, first of all, by the intrinsic energy of Spanda Shakti that operates when we invoke deep core Shaktis of the universe, goddesses, through sound. They're also empowered by the lineage energy and by the practice that the teachers of this lineage have put into it. And it's very important, of course, as many of you know, to realize that in the contemporary New Age world, in the yoga world, we work a lot with mantras. And in the tradition, there's a very pragmatic understanding about mantra, that a mantra can be made to serve you in very specific ways. However, for a mantra to be effective, there are some secrets and some practices or some ways of holding it that really make a huge difference in the way they function within us. Mantra is sometimes defined as a tool for the mind. Mantra, in one of its meanings actually, means tool for the mind or cognitive focusing device. But in Tantra, the understanding is that mantras are essentially powers. That is, a mantra is a particularly concentrated form of the Matrika Shakti, whose entire purpose is to kindle in us and open into an experience of the goal of the mantra, that is, of, in this case, the energies, the deity energies that the mantras call on. So, and in order for this to work, in order for this to be real for us, the mantra has to have had its inner force, its Shakti, united, so that the words actually bring you into felt experience of the energy behind them, of the deity behind them. And what that means is that a mantric name is not a name in the sense that Sally is a name or Gail is a name. I mean, you can, of course, call me you can call Sally, and all the Sallys in the room, and there's another Sally on this call, will respond. But you can't say Sally on this call and manifest this physical person that, you know, that's called Sally Kempton, unless you happen to be standing right in front of her. A mantra, however, will. That is, by holding mantra inside your awareness, you create inwardly the actual felt experience of the energy of the deity or the element or the inner state that the mantra refers to. So this is why the mantric texts say that mantra is God in sound. Mantra is God in sound. Mantra Maheshwara is the way it sounds in Sanskrit. It's a very, very profound mystical truth, and I can say, because of having practiced mantra for years, that it really works this way. As mantra comes alive inside you, it gets to the point where you can repeat the mantra and you will have a very immediate experience of a particular flavor of divine presence. So there are many, many stories about mantra that go even further than what I'm about to say, but the other thing that's very significant to understand is that the power inside a mantra is concealed. You know, it's just the way that the human embryo is concealed inside that tiny little seed that occurs when the sperm and the ovum meet inside the womb. You know, the whole body that will become the body that will become you, or that will become your child, is concealed in that tiny little zygote, as I believe it's called. In the same way, the full power of Shakti, of deity energy, is concealed inside the mantra. So the mantra itself is relatively powerless unless the Shakti in the mantra has been kindled or liberated. It has to be empowered. And an empowered mantra is called Chaitanya, which means, Chaitanya means freedom of consciousness. A truly empowered mantra evokes the full freedom of consciousness, and therefore it can shed inside your consciousness the experience of transcendence. And by the way, for that to be the case, the mantra does not have to be your own special secret mantra. That's not so much what matters in mantra. The mantra has to be given to you by a teacher who is empowered to give you the mantra, usually through a lineage. So we can receive a mantra from a practitioner who empowers it. And then what's necessary is that we practice it with diligence, with respect, and with awareness of the energetic, the felt sense of the energy inside the mantra. And this last piece I have found is really very life-changing if you get it. In other words, if you begin to work with mantra not by holding it as a word that, you know, you're saying inside your mind and which you essentially feel is separate from you, but if you hold it in such a way that you allow yourself to feel into the energy that's kindled inside your inner body mind when you repeat the mantra or when you say the mantra. And when you begin to practice with the mantra, with Om Aim Hrim Klim, or with Soham, or with the mantra that you have been using as your own mantra, when you practice with this mantra, you little by little begin to, as it were, take the mantra into your system, into your subtle body, and the energies in the syllables begin to sink into your inner body mind. And very gradually, and sometimes very dramatically, loosen the contractions inside the mind, inside the body. Open the body mind. In the tantras, there's a statement about the word mantra, which is very important. It says, mantra is that which liberates and protects the one who contemplates it. Mantra is that which liberates and protects the one who contemplates it. And this is really the way mantras are used. What mantra protects us from is ultimately the experience of duality and separation. But mantra can also protect us very, very deeply from all the negative impulses of our own mind and from our fear, from our worry, from our mental and emotional pain. Mantra can set up a counter force, a counter impulse of the matrika shakti, of the spanda, which literally sets it on the path to liberation. This is what the spanda karaka says, that when the power inside the spanda, the power inside a word is recognized and set on its own path. And when we say set on its own path, we mean set on the path that begins to open up for us when we identify with the energy inside the mantra and the meaning inside the mantra, such that we can begin to identify ourselves more and more as the mantra, that is, to station ourselves inside the mantra. Now, there are many, or at least there are several different ways to do this. My own experience of practicing with mantra is that this instruction I've been giving you about feeling the, sensing your way into the space, the felt sense that is created inside your consciousness when you think the mantra and then dwell in the energy of the mantra. That when you begin to experience the felt sense of these empowered words inside your consciousness, they really do begin to mingle with, like the particles of the mantra mingle with the particles of your inner awareness, and they literally expand your consciousness and begin to melt it. So you can find yourself a comfortable upright posture. Let the breath flow. And for this moment, I'm going to ask you to feel that the breath is flowing in and out through the heart. And with the inhalation, have the sense of dropping the syllables Om, Aim, Hrim, Klim into the heart space. And then as the breath gently flows out in the exhalation, and both inhalation and exhalation should be very soft, see if you can feel the space inside your heart center, inside your inner body, where the mantra is vibrating. Om Aim Hrim Klim. Flowing in softly with a soft inhalation, dropping into the heart space. And then with the exhalation, you allow yourself to feel the space that mantra kindles inside your body, not judging it or imagining that it should be some way and not another way, just feeling that space. So that even as you drop the mantra in with the next inhalation. A part of your attention is melting more and more deeply into the felt sense of the mantra syllables as energy, as vibration. How do these syllables feel inside your heart space, inside your consciousness? And as you allow your attention to very softly fall into the energy of the mantra, also remind yourself that any thoughts, any impulses, any mental static, any physical feelings, and also the felt sense that you're experiencing as the mantra melts and expands into your heart space, that all of these are expressions of Spanda, of divine energy, of Shakti. See if you can notice how when you let the mantra syllables vibrate invisibly, that you do begin to experience them as an energy, as a vibration, as a pulsation. if we want mantra practice to be as powerful for us as it was for the sages, and it should be, and it can be, it's very important to practice with the intention to feel into the spanda that empowers it. And when we do that, then we really allow the mantra to penetrate our field of consciousness, which is also, remember, a field of energy, a field of spanda. Whereas when we're keeping the mantra separate from us, when we're trying to inject the mantra into our mind with the feeling that it's something else or something that we're adding, it's much more difficult for the vibratory energy in the mantra to really open up for us its transformative possibilities. The more we can feel our way into the energy within the mantra, the more it uplifts our state. As someone shared in a post yesterday, that practicing with the mantra allowed her to get through a scary stress test in a state of calm. And I know that many of you have had similar experiences. But the trick here, or the essence of the practice, is not to allow mantra to become just another thought inside your inner monologue, which is what can sometimes happen when we do it in a routine way. And also not to think of it as something other than us. Daniel Odier, who in speaking about these verses, says something quite wittily. He says, in the United States, gallons of mantric soup are produced with little birds, synthesizers, and rivers. Instead of trying to practice one of these, listen to the night, to the sounds of your body, to the unending interior dialogue that lives like a homeless squatter in the spatiality of your mind. To practice mantras the way the sages did, you have to learn the exact pronunciation. And he goes on like that, and then he says, however, when there is attention to the spanda in the mantra, even a wrong pronunciation can be effective. And this is the deep point about these practices that we've been doing in this class. The spanda shakti, which empowers everything in life, must be recognized for who she is. And when we have the intention to recognize her and to practice with the awareness that she is the power behind all our practice, then that power inside the Spanda Shakti will no longer bind us to separation, but she will begin to give us the fruits of practice. As one of the translations says, this power of Spanda, which is Shiva's power of action, residing in the ordinary person, binds us. When its true nature is understood and it's set on its own path, this power bestows the fruits of yoga. This power bestows the fruits of yoga. This power gives us the capacity to practice. My guru used to say, mantra is a practice in the beginning. But over time, you realize that mantra itself contains the goal. And this rather mysterious statement points to something that you experience when you allow mantra to melt into the mind. you start to feel the natural pulsation of the inward turned mind. And then that pulsation itself begins to expand your awareness so that you can sit and eventually move and talk and act with this wonderful sense of being caressed from inside by the Spanda Shakti, who is also the goddess. So that the pulsation of your own mind, once you begin to see it for what it is, becomes the natural doorway into the great mind, the great awareness. And because mantra is so completely filled with the awakening capacity of the Spanda Shakti, a mantra practice can literally be the vehicle that you can ride into the self, into the sacred vibration, the sacred quivering, the sacred pulsation will carry you at a certain point seamlessly into the self. So in verse 48, which we're going to look at this week in your contemplation, this power of Spanda when it's followed through the process of thinking and imagining and outward flowing activity binds us. But when its true nature is understood and it's set on its own path, that is turned back towards itself, whether through mantra practice or through awareness of awareness or through inquiry about inquiry such as, what is it that's really bringing up my thoughts? That same power will liberate you and keep liberating you moment by moment by moment. So one of the things I think we've realized in the course of this practice is how the Spanda teachings are meant to give us an alternative way of understanding our lives, such that we have a way into deep practice no matter what is going on. And the kind of effort that we are initiated into as we begin to look for the Spanda Shakti inside our mind and inside our experience is the kind of effort that will continually show us what it is in any given moment that will take us towards greater opening, greater awakening. So the question that we always want to ask ourselves in any moment that we remember when we're practicing or when we're aware of what's going on in our mind is really to ask, is the understanding with which I'm practicing taking me towards greater openness and greater freedom, or is it contracting and binding me? And if the answer is that it's contracting, then ask the Shakti, what needs to be done, or what needs to be thought, or what needs to be practiced in order for this mood or this state or that this activity that I'm engaged in, for this experience that I'm having, what is needed for this experience to move me towards greater freedom and love? However you do it, whether through softly focusing on mantra, through welcoming what arises, through holding an intention to practice even in difficult times, on turning towards the deepest energy that you can be aware of within the body mind, to asking yourself potent questions like, what is it that knows I'm having this experience? Or what is the subtlest level of energy inside this experience? Or practicing as we've been doing by feeling into the sensations in the body and allowing those sensations to gently expand with the breath. All of these are ways in which we can find the kind of powerful, subtle effort that always brings us closer to our own heart and the heart of the universe. So, it's my hope that in the week to come, as we practice and inquire into the ways in which our beliefs and understandings might be liberating us or might be binding us, and as we practice as deeply as possible with mantra, I believe that you'll find that the practices and the understandings that you've been working with during this 6 weeks together really are bearing fruit in ways that are shifting your life. And those shifts may be very subtle, or they might be kind of dramatic, or they might not show up in meditation or in practice, but in an insight that comes at some other time. But just to remember the presence of Spanda Shakti, just to look for that current of pulsation inside your experience and also in the world around you, is probably the most transformative practice that any of us can do. It's the metta practice that allows us to begin to be aware of this one scintillating, shimmering goddess energy, which is acting through every single moment of life and always wanting to bring us home, always wanting to show us the greatness that is what we are, that is who we are. So thank you so much for the practice and the sharings and the silence and the intention and the insight and the way in which we've all joined together to create this vortex that has really worked for everybody to help each one of us move deeper into practice in our own way. The listserv will, of course, continue to be open not only for this coming week, but also for several weeks to come. And I really invite you all, those of you who've been engaging in the listserv and those of you who've been feeling shy about engaging, to write in with your experience and your questions, to engage in the dialogue that's going on there, and also to ask me anything that you feel it would be helpful to have some insight about, insight from me or insight from your fellow practitioners. You'll be getting a homework assignment, and I really want to encourage you to play an experiment with the mantra this week. Always tuning in not only to the syllables themselves, but to the felt sense that begins to unfold for you as you softly allow yourself to become present with the way the energy of mantra feels inside your heart space. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week. And we'll sit for a moment or two, offering Om Aim Hrim Klim into the heart, with the inhalation, opening to the felt sense of the mantra with the exhalation. And just every now and then remembering that the whole field of your experience, inside and outside, is a tapestry, a symphony of pulsation, of the sacred, quivering Spanda Shakti that is living our lives and the life of this universe. Om Aim Hrim Klim. Om Aim Hrim Klim. Om Aim Hrim Klim. May we be blessed with the deepest awareness of what it is to be a human consciousness, being awakened by the power of liberation. May in our hearts and minds and lives we experience how Spanda Shakti, moving on her own path, naturally expands awareness and shows us the inherent bliss that's our birthright. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful week. Namaste. Good night.